Before we move on to Masechta Pesachim, let me just point out some of the interesting diversions that we had here in Masechta Eruvin as a little bit of a chazara. We know that the Masechta primarily focused on the halachas of Eruvei Chatzeres and Eruvei Tchumen. However, at the same time, interestingly enough, although primarily we focused on Eruvin, there are quite a number of places in the Masechta where we talk about some very interesting things which have nothing to do at all with Eruvin. And some things which have to do with Eruvin, but are very relevant today. Beginning on Daf Vav, for example, and I'll go through the Masechta briefly and just point out some of these interesting spots, so if someone wants to go back and look them up, or wants to remember where they are, we'll quickly create some of these simanim of our own. On Daf Vav, we learn the halachas of Eruvin today, and what constitutes a Rishus HaRabim, and what it is that allows you to put up an Eruv, or to put up a Tzuris HaPesach. On Daf Yud Gimel, we have the essence of all the machlokes in Shas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. And we say that although it seems like it's a machlokes, we say the klal of Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim, that although not only with the halachas of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai we paskin like Beis Hillel, but in many other places in Shas we paskin like one particular person, it doesn't mean because that person is right and the other person is wrong, but truthfully Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim, both of them are really right, but for different reasons, because of the madrega we're on or other reasons, we paskin like one and not the other. On Daf Tesvav, we have one of the six places in Shas where we paskin like Abaya. Normally we know we paskin like Rava, but here we paskin like Abaya. And this itself is a mnemonic device called Ya'al Kegam. The Lamed in Ya'al Kegam stands for Lechi Ha'emed Me'elav. And this tells us that a Lechi, which is pre-existing, which is standing, we're also allowed to use as a Lechi for a Tzuris HaPesach. This is especially important today, and Nogei HaLacha L'maisa, very much Nogei HaLacha L'maisa, because without this heter of Abaya, that Lechi Ayamin Me'elav is kosher, it would be very difficult and impractical to build any Erev or any Tzuris HaPesach around the city, because we would have to put up every Lechi specially. But this heter allows us to use pre-existing telephone poles or other things in order to help put up the Tzuris HaPesach. On Daf Yud Zayin, we have the Indian of Maya Machrainim and how it relates to Melach Sedaimis. On Daf Yud Ches, we talk about various Inyanim regarding Onam and Chava. And we mention the klal of Miktsa Shvache Befanav, the Kulei Shalai Befanav. On Daf Lamed Tes, we talk about the halachas of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, and Rosh Chodesh and Atainis. And on Daf Mem Gimel, we speak about when is the time that Mashiach is going to come. What day of the week could he possibly come? When will Eliyahu Hanavi come to announce him? And this relates to the halachas of Yesh Tchumen L'malam Me'asara Tfachim or Ein Tchumen L'malam Me'asara Tfachim. On Daf Memvav, we have some very important klalim about the rules of machlokes throughout Shas. If there's a machlokes, for example, between Reb Yossi and Reb Yehuda, who do we paskin like? And this is critical because I think if someone knows these klalim on this particular daf, you're almost able to predict in advance when you see a machlokes anywhere else in Shas who it is that we paskin like. On Daf Samach Gimel, we talk about the klal of Meira Halacha Bifnei Rabbi, and what you are and what you're not allowed to do. Followed on Daf Samach Dalad by the halachas of Shikur and Shasli. What if a person drinks too much? What is he mechuyev for? And whether he's allowed to be mispalel or not. On Daf Pei Beis, we briefly mention the halachas of gambling, Hamasachet Bekuvia, which relates to the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Then in the final parak, on Daf Tzadik Hei, we get into the halachas of Tefillin. Followed on Daf Tzadik Vav, by the question of Baal Tosef with Tefillin, and whether a woman is mechuyev to wear Tefillin, and the halachas of Mitzvahs Aseh Shazman Grama, or Leihazman Grama. On Daf Kuf, we have the klolos that an Isha suffers Bizman Hazab because of the Chet of Chava. And finally, on Daf Kuf Beis, we begin the Sugya of Ein Shvus B'Migdash. Now let us begin Masechta Pesachim. This Masechta discusses four different areas. The first three prakim talk about the Isser of Chametz. The fourth parak talks about the Melacha, and doing Melacha on Erev Pesach. Fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth parakim talk about the Karban Pesach. And finally, the tenth parak talk about the halachas of the night of the Seder. Now, the first question we need to ask is, why is this Masechta called Masechta Pesachim in the plural form? Why isn't it in the singular form, the same way we call Masechta Yuma, Masechta Tainis, Masechta Sukkah? There are a number of reasons. First of all, we know that there's really the regular Pesach, which happens Tesvav Nisan, and there's also Pesach Sheni. And since we have a Pesach Rishon and a Pesach Sheni, therefore we refer to it as Masechta Pesachim because it discusses both of these. The Meiri also gives a teretz that in the days of the Ga'anim, the Masechta was divided into two parts. The first part included the first four prakim and the tenth parak of what is today Masechta Pesachim. It spoke about the halachas of Chametz and the Leil HaSeder. The second part of the Masechta, which included the fifth through the ninth parak, discussed Karban Pesach. So the first part was called Masechta Pesach Rishon. The second part was called Masechta Pesach Sheni. When they were combined, they formed one combination, which in combination was called Masechta Pesachim, to include the Masechta called Pesach Rishon and the Masechta called Pesach Sheni. The first few prakim talk about the Isur of Chametz. So let us define what Chametz is and what are the Isurim, both Los Aseh and Aseh, relating to Chametz. First of all, let us define what exactly is Chametz. Chametz results when one of the five species of grain, barley, rye, oats, wheat, or spelt, or their derivatives, is allowed to remain undisturbed in contact with water for 18 minutes or more. Now, if the water is hot or salted, chametz results instantly if these grains touch them. So that's basically the definition of what chametz is. Now, regarding chametz, there are really three isurim that are associated with chametz. There is an isur achila, there is an isur hana, and there is an isur of possession. The isur of achila we learn from the pasuk in Shema Yisud Beis, pasuk Tes Vav, Shivas Yamim Matzois Taichelu, Ki Chol Oichel Chametz V'Nichrasa HaNefesh Ahi MiYisrael. That tells you you're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. The isur hana we learn from Shema Yisud Gimel, pasuk Gimel, V'Lo Ye'Ochel Chametz. Anything that could potentially lead you to any type of achila at all, as we see in Pesachim Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, including hana, for example, you're not allowed to do. So therefore, that's how you see the isur of hana. And finally, the isur of possession comes in two forms. Possession basically means that you're not allowed to have chametz at all in your reshus on Pesach. And if you do this, you're actually over on two laven. Even if he doesn't eat any of it, you're over on two laven. What are the two laven? Shmos Yud Gimel Pasuk Zayin says, V'lo yera lecha chametz, v'lo yera lecha se'ar b'chol gvulecha. And in Shmos Yud Beis Yud Tes, we see Shivas Yamim Se'ar lo yimatzei b'vateichem. You're not allowed to find any chametz in your houses. These are known as the Isurim of Bal Yera, Bal Yimatzei. Now, aside from this, we have a separate mitzvah saseh, which we learn from Shmos Yud Beis, Pasuk Tes Vav. Ach b'yom harishon tashbisu se'ar b'vateichem. This tells you that you're supposed to get rid of, you're supposed to dispose of all chametz that you have in your reshus. This mitzvah is the mitzvah saseh of tashbisu. From these psukim we know that you're supposed to get rid of the chametz. Now, how do you get rid of chametz? There are two ways to do this. Number one, bitul chametz, and number two, bir chametz. Bitul chametz means you nullify all chametz that you own. In other words, you resolve firmly within your mind that all chametz that belongs to you is considered ka'afra dara. And basically what this means is by nullifying the chametz, it becomes hefker. It becomes like you don't own it at all, and therefore you wouldn't be oiver. And therefore, not only that you're not oiver, but you're a mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisa. The other way to do it is to search your house, make a bedikas chametz, find all the chametz that's in your rishus, and then destroy it to the point where you can't get any benefit from it anymore. Now, nowadays we have a third method, which is called mechiras chametz. This is selling the chametz to a guy. So therefore, since it no longer belongs to you, you're not over the isurim of Bal Yiraya, Bal Yimatzeh. Today we say that you do both bittel and beer, and in fact we do mechiras chametz also. The question is, why isn't bittel enough? The answer is very simple. Since people have different feelings and different thoughts about things, Chazal were afraid that if someone had a high-value chametz in his possession, in his heart, maybe he was really not that interested in getting rid of it. So therefore, the bittel would not be chal. So therefore, they said that you need beer also to ensure that the person would not be over bal yirah bal yimatzeh. The final question is, when does one get rid of the chametz? We learn from the pasuk of Ach b'yom harishon tashbisu that the word Ach divides the day, Erev Pesach, into two parts. Before Chatzais, Chametz is Mutter Midaraisa. After Chatzais, Chametz is Osir Midaraisa. Bein Bachila, Bein Bahana. But the Chachamim were afraid that someone may come to miscalculate the time of Chatzais. Therefore, they said that the only time a person is able to both eat and have Hana from Chametz is until the end of the fourth hour. So until the end of the fourth hour, chametz is mutar b'achila and mutar b'hana. Until the end of the fifth hour, it is asr b'achila, but it's mutar b'hana. In other words, that's the hour that we burn it. After 5 hours, chametz is asr b'achila and asr b'hana midirabbanan. And once you get to chatzais, everything becomes asr midaraisa. Now let us actually begin Masechet Pesachim from the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Or li'arba asar baitkin es hachametz li'ar haner. The night before Erev Pesach, in other words, the night of Erev Pesach, we make a bedika on our houses to check for chametz in the houses, and we use a candle. Kol makom she'ein machnisin bei chametz, ein sarach bedika. Any place where we normally don't put chametz, we do not need a bedika. V'lama amru shtei shuras b'marteif. We said, according to the Chachamim in a previous area, the Chachamim say we have to check 2 rows of a wine cellar. Now, why is it we have to check a wine cellar? We know that we normally don't put chametz in a wine cellar. So the Mishnah says, makam shemachnisin by chametz. The only time we ever say we have to check a wine cellar is in a wine cellar where we normally put some sort of chametz. In other words, it's a kind of a wine cellar where during the Suda, a person would go down possibly with bread in his hands and go out and take some wine. Those are the cellars we're talking about that have to be checked for chametz. But where is it exactly in the wine cellar we have to check for chametz? This is a machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai yomim shtei shuras al pnei kol hamartef. Beis Shammai says 2 rows over the entire wine cellar. Ubeis Hillel yomim shtei shuras hachitzaynis shehen hoel yoynis. You have to check the 2 outermost columns, which are the uppermost rows of the martef. Now, the reason for this bedika, according to Rashi, is in order to keep a person from being over on the yisurim of bal yira, bal yamatza. But the actual chiv bedika itself, that's only midrabanan. So then the Gemara asks, when exactly is this or that we're talking about in the Mishnah? And there's a machloikis here. According to Rav Huna, the or the arbas are speaking that we make the bedika on the morning of Erev Pesach. According to Rav Yehuda, it means the night before. In other words, the night of Erev Pesach. And this is what we do today. Now we try bringing rayas one way or the other. We bring down the pasuk, Ucha'ar Baiker Yizrach Shemesh. The Olam Haba of Tzadikim will be like the Shemesh we enjoy in Olam Hazeh. This is a raya that Or is equal to Yom. And then we bring other rayas that Or is equal to Yom. Then we have a raya Halu Kol Kochvei'or. This tells us that Or is equal to Laila. And we bring other rayas along that line also. We then bring a raya here in the Gemara that self-defense is mutter if someone is going to kill you. Haba lahargacha hashkem lahargai. If you know that a person is going to kill you, then in self-defense, you're allowed to kill him. But if he's not going to kill you, then you're not allowed to kill him. Then we say, Yoyim Arba Asar Asar Basiyas Melacha. We expand on this later in the fourth parak, that we say, the Yoyim Arba Asar, which is Erev Pesach, you're not allowed to do Melacha. When is the time that you're not allowed to do Melacha? From when? We say, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, this is referring to Or, this is referring to the night before. Rabbi Yehuda says, Mishas Neitz Hacham. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov asked Rabbi Yehuda, where do we see that we split a halacha between 2 different parts of one day? And we answer, Gabitainis Tzibur Ad Masai Eichel. We bring down a machlaikis, when is it that you're not allowed to eat? Beginning from when on a tainis? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Ad Elisa Shachar. Until Elisa Shachar you can eat, but after that you're not allowed to eat. Rabbi Shimon says, Ad Kreis Hagever. Until the time that the rooster crows, from after that point, you're not allowed to eat. So we see we do split the days, referring to a tainis sibur. Therefore, it's possible here that we also split the day of Erev Pesach. Part of a day, you are allowed to do malacha. Part of a day, you're not allowed to do malacha. Then the Gemara says, we know that chametz is asur from the 7th hour of Erev Pesach, midaraisa. But the 6th hour, it is exerid rabbanan, that chametz is asur both ba'achila and ba'hana. And in the 5th hour, is asur ba'achila, but it is mutar ba'hana. The Gemara then says, ein masin masuais el al-achaydish shenira bizmane. We know from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chof Beis, that as a Jewish month came to an end, the Sanhedrin would wait for Edim to come so they could determine exactly when Rosh Chodesh, the new month, would be proclaimed. This was called Kiddush HaChodesh. Today we have calendars that have been set for us, so we don't go through this process. But then, even once Edim came to Beis Din, it was necessary to announce the exact date of Rosh Chodesh, not only to the people of Yerushalayim, but to all the Jews as far away as Babel. This communication process was the lighting of Masuais, a series of bonfires which began from the top of the Har HaMishcha, which is Har HaZesim, moving onto the bonfire on the Har Sartava, which is today in the west bank of the Jordan, and finally so on and so forth until the word reached the Jews of Babel. Now, there were 2 and only 2 possible dates that Rosh Chodesh could fall. It could either be on the 30th day of the month, which makes that concluding month Chaser, or on the 31st day of that month, which makes that concluding month Mali. Today, this is equivalent to one day of Rosh Chodesh and 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, respectively. So we say, Ein masiyeh masuyes el alachodesh shenira bizmanin. The only time we light these fires is if Rosh Chodesh falls on the 30th day, since that's the pivot day. At that point, people wonder, is it Rosh Chodesh today or is it not? So we lit the fires to clarify this issue. However, if Rosh Chodesh wasn't proclaimed on the 30th day, it was very clear to everyone that the next day, the 31st day, would be Rosh Chodesh. Therefore, we needed no Edom and we needed no fires. This was the shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, that no hachrazer was needed since kvar kitshuhu shamayim. And this is how they paskened. So the Gemara asks, V'emasai masiyin, when is it that we used to light these fires? The Gemara answers, Lior iburoi, you lit these fires on the night after of the 30th. Shmami, now we have a raya that or is equal to night. Daf Gimel. We continue to bring rayas that or is equal to night. And one of the rayas is, Or shal yom ha-kippurim mispal sheva u'misvada. We save it the night of Yom Kippur, your mispal sheva brachas v'shman esrei, u'misvada, and you say vidui. That's another one of the rayas. Then the Gemara says, Li'olam al yotzi adam dover miguna mipiv. A person should not say something disdainful from his mouth. So here the Gemara comes out with a maskana. That's why Rav Huna said, Or. Really, there is no machlokes here, whether Or is referring to the night or whether it's referring to the day. Really, everybody holds it's referring to the night. But Rav Huna didn't want to say the word leil, which is kind of an eerie way of saying it. Therefore, he used the term yom. So the maskana is, there is no machlokes whether it's day or night, but the only machlokes here really is in the expression, in the way they said it. The Gemara then says, Li'olam yisaper adam b'loshen nekiyah. It's very important for a person to speak whenever he says something in a clean language, and not chash b'sham to say something in a bad way. How do we know this? Sha'arei b'zav karoi merkav, u'b'isha karoi moishav. If a person is a zav or a zava, the item that a person sits on becomes tameh. When we're speaking about a man rider on a horse, the Torah refers to it as merkav, but by a woman, we refer to it as moishav. Why? Because for a woman, it's not snias to ride on a horse at all. Because as Rashi says, pisuk raglayim, you're able to see the outline of her body, which becomes very clear. So the Torah doesn't want to refer to this way because it's not sneistic. Incidentally, this is one of the reasons why a woman shouldn't wear pants, because of the potential of pisuk raglayim. Other reasons we know is because lo yihye kli gever al isha is one of the other reasons that a woman shouldn't wear pants. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, li'olam yishana adam l'talmidei derech tzara. It's a good idea when a Rebbe teaches his Talmidim to teach whatever it is he's teaching to them in a very short and concise language so it becomes clear instantaneously, and not that the Rebbe teaches it in a roundabout way. We also bring another raya about Lashon Nekiyah. Baitkin b'tahara, u'maiskin b'tuma. Other people said just simply, instead of saying b'tuma, here they said that it's just simply not tahar. What is this referring to? We know that grapes must be picked with a kli that is tahar. But we say that olives can be picked even with a kli that is tameh, or, as the Gemara says, a kli that is not tahar. As we've already seen a few times, we know that for a food to be mukhshul lekabel tuma, it must first have been touched by some sort of a mashka. One of the seven types of mashkas, yayin, dvash, shemen, cholav, tal, dam, or mayim. And this is abbreviated with yad, shachat, dam. Now the picker who takes this has to be happy about these liquids touching them. So grape juice, where a person is happy, so therefore you need a klitar, because now it's mukshul lekabel tuma. But juice of an olive is not really something that's chashiv, therefore it's not really regular shemen, what comes off, because it's not really regular shemen that comes off of them, the juice, therefore the person is not really happy about them, therefore it can't be mukshul lekabel tuma, therefore you could lose even a kli that is not tar. Then the Gemara brings down a story of two Talmidim that came before Hillel. One of them used a lashon nekiyah. One of them did not use lashon nekiyah. And Hillel said about this Talmud that used the lashon nekiyah, muftach ani b'zeh shemara harabi Yisrael. I'm sure that this person will become a mara harabi Yisrael, but kachaya, that's exactly how it was. What we basically see from here is that Amarayim went to major steps not to say things in a bad way, but rather to try to say things in as nice of a lashon as possible. Daf Dalet. From a maisa, Mirabchia, we learned three things. Number one, Ovel Asur ben Ilas Hasandel. An Ovel is not allowed to wear Nilas Hasandel. Number two, Shmua Rechaika Eino Neheges Eliyem Echad. We know there's a machlokes when, if a person hears a Shmua Rechaika about a person who is Nifter, how many days does he have to sit? Does he have to sit 7 days of Shiva, quote-unquote, or does he only have to sit 1 day? By a Shmua Kraiva, in other words, a Shmua where a person heard within 30 days of someone's death, close to him in the family. If he hears it within 30 days, then he has to sit Shiva. But let's say he heard about something where someone was nifter more than 30 days ago, which is called a shmua rechaika. Then we say, Einu neheges el yemecha. He doesn't have to sit 7 days of shiva, but rather only 1 day. And finally, the third thing, Miktsas Hayoim Ba'avelus Kekula. Then the Gemara says people from Sheva Dun have a propensity towards Dinei Torah, and people from Sheva Zvulun like homes by the sea. And this is basically based on the brachas of Yaakov, which they got, which point in these respective directions regarding these propensities. The Gemara then learns it's a good idea to do a mitzvah as absolutely quickly as possible when the mitzvah comes along. As the klal is, Zrizin Makdimin Lemitzvahs. And we learn this from Avraham Avinu, Vayashkem Avraham Babaiker, by the Maisa of the Akedah. So even Bizman Hazar, whenever we have a chance to do a mitzvah as quickly as possible, we don't wait around, but we do it as soon as we can, like by Bris Mila, where we do it early in the morning. Then the Gemara asks, why did the Chachamim make the Chiyav Bedika the night before? Why at night? And we say there's two reasons. Number one, B'nei Adam Mitzuyim Bevateha. The night is when the people come home from work. Therefore, they're in their homes. Therefore, that's the best time to do it. Number two, we say, Or Haner Yafa Lebedika. The light of the candle is most effective for Bedika at that time. In other words, since it's at night, we know that candles work very well at night. That's the best time for the person to do it when he's home at night. Then the Gemara asks, Kamaskir Bayis Lechaveire Ba'arba Asar Almi Livdak. If a person rents his house to his friend on the 14th day, on who is the one who the Chiyav falls to do the Bedika? We bring a raya from Mezuzah that the Chiyav is on the Seicher. How do we see this? Because we know, according to Rashi, he learns the Chiyav of Mezuzah from Beisacha that there's specifically a Chayvas Hadar, the person who is living in it. Bi Ascha Nichnas Aviyotzeba. The Daraisa is actually on the door. The Maskan is that as long as the rental happens before the 14th, the Chiyav is on the Seicher. And handing over the key, according to Rashi, is the determinant on exactly when the timing actually happened. Rashi says the handing over the key is what creates the kinyan. Tysus has an issue with this, since we never see anywhere that giving a key constitutes a kinyan. He learns that giving over the key doesn't make the kinyan, but rather it signifies the change in Rishus. Then at that point, a person makes a regular kinyan. Then the Gemara asks, Kamaskir bayis biyodalad, cheskosay baduk, or low. Gemara asks, let's say a person rents out a house on Yudalad. Can we assume from a chazaka that the house is actually checked, or do we have to assume that the house was not checked? And not only that, the Gemara says, at this point, technically you should be able to ask the owner of the house, but the owner of the house is gone. He left the city, so now we can't even ask him. So we bring a raya from the following words. Hakol ne'amanin ne'amanim albir chametz afilu nashim avodim uktanim. We say that everybody is believed. Someone says they made a beer chametz, a bedika, and a beer on the chametz in a particular house. We believe even nashim avonim uktanim. So the question is, there's a difference. You can't bring a raya from here. These people, the nashim avonim and uktanim, actually said that they checked it. But over here, nobody said anything. The balabas is gone from the house. We don't know what happened. So how are we able to make the comparison? So we answer. Since the bedika is only midarabanan, and midaraisa bitul bialmasagi. So we say, nashim avavadim uktanim are okay as edim. And the original question that we asked before remains unresolved. Now over here we have a basic machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says, since midaraisa we say bitul bialmasagi, the din of beer is only midarabanan. But the daraisa of tashbisu happens as chal at the time of the bitul. And the mitzvah of tashbisu could potentially occur even before the seventh hour of Erev Pesach. The mitzvah of Tashbisu can occur way before that. Tosfos learns that Bittul does not trigger the mitzvah of Tashbisu, but rather it makes it like Hefker, and then, at that point, it's like Hefker. But the actual inyan of Tashbisu only is Chal after the seventh hour. That's when it's Chal. In other words, the Isser of the inyan of Tashbisu, the mitzvah asaseh of Tashbisu, is only Chal when the Isser of Bal Yirah, Bal Yamatzah is Chal. So according to Rashi, Tashbisu can be Chal even before the beginning of the seventh hour on Erev Pesach. But according to Tosfos, it can only be Chal in of itself at the time of the seventh hour on Erev Pesach. However, now, we're still left with the original question, Hamaskir Bayis Biyodalad, Cheskosei Baduk Olo. Do you have to check this house or not, if you don't know whether it was checked or not? And here we have a number of shitas. First of all, we have the shita of the Tur and the Rush. The Tur and the Rush say that since the tenant can actually be mevatel the chametz, so you don't need a bedik at all. You can rely on the chazaka that it was already checked. But the Shulchan Aruch Harav says differently. He says that even though every Jew has a cheskes kashrus, and we assumed that every Jew actually checked his house, in this particular case, there's also a different chazaka. There's a chazaka that there was chametz on these premises. Therefore, this counteracts the first chazaka, and therefore, this new person has to then go and check out this house. The Gemara then says, Nichale le'inish le'kiyume mitzvah v'memayne. We say that people are delighted to spend money to do mitzvahs. People are always willing to do mitzvahs, and they're willing to spend their own money to do mitzvahs. Tan Rabbanan. Rameir emer eichlin kol chamesh v'sayfin b'tchila sheish. You're out to eat chametz for 5 hours, and then you burn it at the beginning of the sixth hour. Rabbi Yehuda emer eichlin kol arba. You're allowed to eat it for 4 hours. V'taylin kol chamesh. You do nothing with it. You wait during the fifth hour. You hold on to it. In other words, during that time, hana is okay. V'sayfin b'tchila sheish, and you burn it at the beginning of the sixth hour. And the Gemara asks, how do we know that chametz on Erev Pesach becomes aser bahana? We learn it from two psukim. Shivas yamim so'ar le'matzei bivateichem. We know that there are 7 full days that a person is not allowed to have title of any chametz. We also have a pasuk that says, ach b'yamarishan tashbisu so'ar mivateichem. Sometime on the first day, you get rid of it. Now this is a paradox. How is it possible to have a full 7 days? And yet at the same time, we say that in the middle of the first day, you get rid of it. So we learn, ach is the rabbis arba asar labir. We say that ach is lachalik. It becomes a miyut. What it does is it includes part of the day, Erev Pesach. Ach includes Erev Pesach. And now the first day of Pesach really becomes the first of the 7 days. Ach though is referring to Erev Pesach. And we cut that day in half. Half of the day we say is mutter, and half of the day is asar. This, of course, is only midaraisa. Midarabbanan, however, we say that we burn the chametz at an earlier hour. We burn the chametz in the midst of the fifth hour. Tafei. Bayam Arishin Shabbasain, Ubayam Hashmini Shabbasain, teach us that the first day of Yontif, referring to Sukkot, and the last day of Yontif are Asr b'malacha. But Cholamayit, it's mutter to do basic malachas. And we have a similar drasha for Pesach also. Tana de Berav Yishmael. Bishar Shleisha Rishain, Zachu Lishleisha Rishain. In the Schus of 3 psukim where we refer to Rishain, Bishus being Mekayim, 3 psukim where the word Rishain is used, Lulav, Shabbasayin, in other words, Yontav of Sukkot, and Shabbasayin, the Yom Tovim of Pesach, we get the 3 benefits which are also referred to as Rishon. What are these 3 benefits? Lahachriv Zarei Shel Esav, Lebinyan Beis Hamikdash, and Mashiach. These 3 rewards are also referred to as Rishon. We then have the Drasha Rabbi Yishmael, Leisishchat Al Chametz Dam Zivchi. This is another proof that you can't have Chametz after Chatzos, since you can't own any Chametz once the Karban Pesach is slaughtered. Rabbi Akiva says, Ach b'yom harishon cannot refer to the night of the 15th, since burning is asur on Yontif. Therefore, the burning of chametz has to be referring to the 14th. That is actually the Zman Bedika and the Zman of Bir. Amar Rava, Shma minam b'Rabbi Akiva Tlas. From this particular drush in Rabbi Akiva, we learn 3 things. Number 1, Ein b'yir chametz ela sreifa. B'yir chametz is only possible to do avaya sreifa. Later on, we're going to learn that according to the Rabbanan, we don't necessarily need sreifa. Number 2, Havara Lechalik Yotzis. We know that all the Lamed Tes Melachas, the Torah does not specifically say what they are. We learn specifically what the 39 Melachas are, either from the Leches HaMishkan or Halacha L'Moishim Yisinei. Those tell you what the specific 39 Melachas are. The exception to this is Havara, possibly Haitzah also. How do we know Havara is Aser? From a special pasuk of Leisevaru Eish V'chol Moish V'Seicha. This tells you that Havara is Aser. And this in fact teaches you specifically about Havara is Aser. This is unique, because this is the only malacha that's mentioned specifically in the Torah. So why is it that the Torah specifically mentions this malacha and none of the others? So there's a machlokes. Is Havara lelav yatzis or Havara lechalek yatzis? If we say that Havara is lechalek yatzis, which is what we generally say, we say that this comes to teach you that each and every malacha is considered separate. And therefore, if you do 5 malachas, you're chayev for 5 different karban chatos. Not that if you do 5 malachas, you have to bring 1 in total, but you have to bring 5 separate ones. And finally, number 3, we do not say, v'lei amrinam b'toich shabiyantiv hayal b'hutra havara b'yantiv l'tzarech, hutra nami shalei l'tzarech. We know that havara, lighting a fire, is mutter for food, but is it okay also to light fires for other purposes too? So we say that cooking is okay, but to cook not for the purpose of food, this is a machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. According to Beis Hillel, it is okay, Havara, to do other things besides cooking for food. According to Beis Shammai, it is not okay. And Rabbi Akiva holds like Beis Shammai. We actually paskin like Beis Hillel, and we say, Mitoch shehut l'tzarech chutshunami shaloi l'tzarech. And on that point, we will conclude this shir. Since this tape covered a lot of complex Melechah Shabbos and Yonim at the end of Masechta Erevin, a closing review on the Masechta Erevin, a Hakdama to Masechta Pesachim, and the foundation Yosaidus of Masechta Pesachim on the first few blat, we moved at a slower pace than we usually do. However, Amir Tz Hashem, we will continue at a regular speed on the next tape.